If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay hitting with a solo recap of the Nets loss to the Bucks 129-125. Another tough loss at home to a very good Bucks team. We're going to jump into that and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. But this was a close game back and forth. You know, no team really dominated at different points. The Nets were up 10, Bucks up 9. You know, it was tied 11 different times, 6 lead changes. And down the stretch, it was very back and forth. You know, Mikal Bridges, Cam Thomas were trading buckets with Giannis and Chris Middleton. And really, you know, there was a Cam Thomas mystery, then a Chris Middleton mystery. Nets grab the board. Ben Simmons shoots an outlet pass to Dorian Finney-Smith. DFS has a step or two on Giannis, you know, in fear of the chase down block, kind of hesitates under the rim. Middleton comes in. DFS misses the layup. Bucks get the ball back. Nets honestly get a couple more chances because of a missed free throw by Dame, a missed free throw by Jay Crowder, and they still can't capitalize and find a way to tie the game. And ultimately, you know, the Bucks just made more plays in the last 45 seconds to a minute of this game. But overall, it was pretty tight throughout. And there weren't necessarily a ton of areas where the Nets were bad. It was just, you know, the Bucks had guys that were making certain plays. You know, Giannis in this game, 36 points, 15 to 27, 12 rebounds, and the Nets were without Nick Claxton, and obviously played pretty small in this one. And, you know, a couple guys off the bench really went off for the Bucks. You know, Jay Crowder was 4 of 9 from 3. Pat Connaughton hit some big threes. Cam Payne was 3 of 4 from 3. You know, the starters in terms of three-point shooting weren't great for the Bucks, but the guys off the bench just hit some big shots. You know, you feel maybe just a touch more of execution defensively on some of these, you know, bench three-point shooters. Like, you want to force Jay Crowder to make a play and drive to the rim. You don't want to let him look comfortable from behind the arc. So ultimately, that was somewhat of a factor. And I think on the net side, you had guys, you know, miss a lot of open threes. Mikal Bridges, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith finally cooled down. And, you know, Cam Thomas was 6 of 16. Royce O'Neal bounced back 4 of 7. And Lonnie Walker 3 of 7. But just some of those misses and big moments, you know, weren't there for the Nets. But they even won the turnover battle. You know, 10 turnovers for the Bucks, 8 turnovers for the Nets. Rebounding wise, a couple more for the Bucks, but nothing substantial. You know, you can look to the free throw attempts, 13 for the Nets, 24 for the Bucks. Some of that a little bit imbalanced because of, you know, the late game fouling, trying to get the Bucks to miss free throws. But again, you know, you could argue maybe the Nets could have had a couple better calls, especially on that weird Bobby Portis play where he kind of grabbed Mikal Bridges on a fast break opportunity. You know, no technical, no flagrant, and no take foul. You know, I think it was pretty obvious at the very least it should have been a take foul. The Nets don't get that call, so that's pretty tough. But ultimately, I think it stinks they lost this game, but again, they showcase they can kind of compete with anybody. You know, a few plays here or there, and they win this game. You know, Jay Crowder or Pat Connaughton don't knock down a three off the bench. You know, the Nets win this game, or they grab one of those offensive rebounds that Brook Lopez was tapping out to Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, one of just a few plays in this game are made, the Nets win. And that's really the difference, and that's usually the difference between really, really good teams and just good teams. And the Nets are trying to go from a good team to a really good team. And we, you know, going into the season, we didn't even expect them to be a good team. We were hoping they'd be an okay team. So they're already kind of surpassing expectations, specifically one guy, and that's Cam Thomas. 45 points, 17 of 33 from the field, 6 of 16 from deep, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, and +3 in this game. And I think honestly, one of the, you know, 45 points is amazing, and he's done this, you know, multiple times in his NBA career, and he's really off to a hot start this NBA season. But the fact he had one turnover with 33 shot attempts and the amount of usage he had in this game is actually incredible. And I thought, in terms of making the right play and making the right pass, you know, Cam did that majority of this game. Yeah, there was a couple tough shots mixed in, but he was knocking them down. And you also love to see the high volume from three. I think that's an area that's going to open up his game more as, you know, we progress through the season and teams kind of attack him differently, because he's so effective driving and not only finishing inside, but getting to the free throw line. And six attempts in this one. And it's just, you know, the constant improvement. And again, this is a guy that's 22 years old and just showcased a really, really deep offensive scoring bag, but now we're starting to see the other areas of his game, you know, excel and try to catch up to that scoring. And that's going to be so huge for Cam to become, you know, the complete player and really a star in this league. And I think, you know, there was talk about star flashes in the past, but the way he started the season has just been different. And, you know, majority of this game, you could make an argument that Cam Thomas was the best player on the floor in a game that featured Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dame Lillard. Like, Cam was really that good. And it was, again, it wasn't just the scoring, because the scoring was obviously there, but it was also some of the defensive plays, some of the reads. There's one play where he just kind of shot into the passing lane, got the steal, got a transition opportunity, a couple really nice passes and just heady plays in this one. And, you know, it's the constant growth, and it's really good for this Nets team. And also, you saw him down the stretch, you know, have to isolate a little bit and find opportunities to score. You know, there was one play in that fourth quarter where he split, I think it was Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton, and got to the free throw line. Just really, really next level stuff for such a young player. And all these reps are definitely paying off. And, you know, he's a guy that you expect to be better in 2 to 3 months. Not to say he's not really good already, but I think there's still room for improvement, and it's just getting more reps, more experience. And I think, you know, Vaughn's talked about this, you know, last week, and how he's just kind of studied more. You know, he's been more prepared with a scouting report and the game plan and different things. And, you know, it was mentioned on Twitter before the game. Also, another area Cam's looked a lot better is just dealing with the media. He looks more comfortable, more just professional, and ready to kind of lock in. His vibes are just way up. And obviously some of that's probably tied to having a bigger role in this team and getting minutes and feeling, you know, rewarded to an extent. So just really, really happy for the start of Cam Thomas and putting up a great performance against, again, a really good team in the Bucks. And the Bucks aren't hitting on all cylinders, but they have a lot of talented players and talented rim protectors in Giannis and Brook. And Cam had no issue attacking those guys and getting to the free throw line or getting his shot up, especially, you know, some of those high arcers in the paint.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
But not only a great game from Cam, it was a really nice game from Mikal Bridges. And this was kind of one of the performances we saw at the end of last season. You know, post-trade deadline, Mikal looking like a star-level player. 31 points, 12 of 21. Would have liked to see him hit more threes. 1 of 5 from deep, but 6 of 7 from the free throw line. 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Only one turnover for him as well. You know, I thought he played pretty good defense on Dame Lillard in this game too. Mikal just was aggressive from the start and knew that he could attack the drop coverage the Bucks were playing with Brook Lopez, and they varied that up a little bit throughout the game. But again, there was just a lot of opportunities to get to his spots. You saw him kind of extend his dribble a couple times and be patient and just find those openings, because the way the Bucks play defense, he knew it would be there. And this is just kind of hopefully a building block for his confidence. We see him kind of be this level of aggressive from the first quarter on and get back to knocking down those mid-range shots that he shot at such an efficient rate last season. But over to Dorian Finney-Smith, kind of mentioned him before, obviously the late game play that wasn't enough. And to his defense, that's not necessarily his game. You almost feel like maybe Ben should have slowed things down and just kind of pulled it out on that play. But again, DFS did cool down from three, only 7 points in this one, 3 of 12 from the field, 1 of 7 from deep, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover. Wasn't a bad game, but just not giving the same level of offensive pop we've seen the last couple games, and not, you know, scorching from three, which obviously helps stretch out that defense a little bit more and opens up some more passing lanes and some things inside. But you know, he had to bang with Brook Lopez, had to bang with Giannis. Bobby Portis out there, always give him credit for, you know, using the energy and playing with the level of energy and grit. Over to Spencer Dinwiddie, did not have a very impactful game. You know, 3 points in this one, 1 of 4 from the field, 1 of 3 from three, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 0 turnovers, was plus 13. But when he was out there, he just didn't necessarily feel impactful. You know, probably a lot of that plus 13s from the first quarter where the Nets started hot and he did knock down a three in that stretch. But, you know, it's finding the right balance. And also, I think at times, you know, Vaughn chooses to go with like Dennis Smith Jr. at the end of that third quarter instead of using Spencer Dinwiddie. You know, and DSJ was not playing elite level defense and really disrupting enough in the end of the floor. And offensively, Spencer can provide a lot more. And obviously, he's, you know, just a more impactful offensive player because of his skill, but also I think his mental ability to kind of read that zone defense and understand what the team needed to do. So not having Spencer out there a little bit more probably hurt the team, but you understand the decision because those 23 minutes weren't necessarily impactful. And moving over to Ben Simmons, finished with 2 points, 1 of 3 from the field, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, and had, you know, defensive coverage on Giannis majority of this game. He did make him work, and obviously he was beat numerous times as well. It's kind of impossible in a one-on-one situation, especially when Ben's, you know, out muscle and outsize. But you know, you appreciate that effort, and I think this is a game where you saw the deficiencies of his offensive game. You know, there wasn't really much for him to do in terms of attacking the paint because they put Brook Lopez on him and he wasn't going to score on Brook in the paint. And he wasn't going to attack Brook and get to the free throw line. So now that kind of just eliminates an entire element of your offense. And this is where, you know, maybe having Clax available would have been pretty helpful, because not only, you know, he's a longer defender and, you know, has had some success against Giannis himself, but also would be more willing probably to attack Brook Lopez, get to the free throw line, and be more of a presence in the paint offensively. And, you know, obviously Ben provides more in the way he pushes the pace and passes the ball, but the way the Bucks played him kind of stagnated the offense again at times, you know, and just made him less important offensively. But it didn't necessarily matter because of the offensive firepower we got from Cam Thomas and Mikal Bridges. But again, you know, in the big picture, I think it's just these small little things or these aspects of the game you want to kind of keep an eye on and understand, you know, this could be something that hurts the Nets in the future in a specific matchup. Now, getting over to Royce O'Neal, played 25 minutes off the bench, 12 points, 4 of 8 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. You know, this was a nice game from Royce. He also had a really good steal on Giannis Antetokounmpo in this game, and it was just like, wow. Like, he feels like he stripped almost every good player in the league. He's not great at the perimeter, but when you get him in the paint, even if he's undersized, he does a great job of utilizing his hands and using a low base to really just get in good position to make guys work. And it was nice to see him, you know, knock down some big threes and have an impact on the boards, and again continuing to impact assists as well. And we'll see how his role kind of changes when Cam Johnson's back and how, you know, Vaughn has to balance all these different lineups. But I think he was solid in this one. Moving over to De'Ron Sharp, finished with 4 points, 2 or 3 from the field. Surprisingly had 0 rebounds, which is a rare thing for De'Ron. 1 block in this game. You know, I think he started off with a couple rough defensive plays, but ultimately had some positive offensive ones. You saw him take the one dribble, put his body into Giannis, create space, and finish with the reverse layup. That was pretty stuff, and that was probably one of his most impressive offensive plays ever in his career, considering who he was going against in the situation. You know, in the past, we've seen him bobble there. We've seen him get blocked. We've seen him get stripped. And to finish against Giannis and create that space and look confident and smooth, I thought that was definitely nice progress for him. But I think still, for me, De'Ron Sharp is a lot of hot and cold. There's good moments and there's bad moments. And now trying to find the balance of, even if it's eliminating some of the good moments, just eliminate all of the bad moments. You know, if you're out there and you can do your job without being negative and provide some level of positivity, that's enough as a backup center. And getting over to another backup who's been great for the Nets to start the year, and that's Lonnie Walker. 19 points, 8 of 14 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. You know, Lonnie is just providing a spark. He provides a level of energy. You give him a lane to the rim, he's going to find a way to finish inside. And obviously, 3-point shooting has been really good to start the year too for him. And I think defensively, he's probably been a little bit better than most people expect. You know, Jack and I talked about in the offseason how he's taken strides defensively in the past seasons, especially last year with the Lakers. And we're seeing that a little bit more this year. And he got big fourth quarter minutes for this team. There was some question about him going to the locker room and coming back. And he was questionable for this one with knee soreness. Hopefully he's 100% healthy, because he's playing so well to start the year. You'd hate to see him miss a couple games and kind of disrupt his rhythm. But getting over to the final player of the night, Dennis Smith Jr., 2 points, 1 of 3 from the field, 1 assist, just not very impactful. You know, I think unless DSJ is out there and really clamping and, you know, creating havoc defensively, offensively, he's not good. You know, he's a negative on the end of the floor. And if you're playing, you know, multiple negatives, you know, we've seen him on the floor tonight with Ben Simmons, and both those guys cannot shoot threes. And we've seen it out there with De'Ron Sharp. Both those guys cannot shoot threes. Now you're limiting your spacing and not even doing it in a way where you're adding a very good offensive player. You know, it's not like we're talking about someone who, you know, I don't know, maybe like Kyle Anderson, who does shoot a couple threes here and there, but he's a good mid-range player and can have an offensive impact, where Dennis Smith Jr. just really doesn't have that. He had one nice drive in this game, but in the way the Bucks were playing the Nets defensively, it just didn't make sense to play him. So those 11 minutes, you know, could have gone to Lonnie Walker. They could have gone to Royce O'Neal. They could have gone to Spencer Dinwiddie. You know, that makes a difference. Even, you know, I think some people would probably say, oh, Armani Brooks could have seen some of those minutes. But really, even Trenton Watford could have been an interesting play in this one, given the Nets a little bit more size and versatility and another playmaker to handle the ball against that Bucks zone. And I think that would have been something interesting to do, because he could kind of get into that in-between game, that push shot, that floater. We've seen him operate and take advantage of mismatches. So obviously I don't think this game falls on Vaughn in any way. I don't think, you know, he's the reason they lost. You know, the Nets again had enough opportunities late in this one. They couldn't capitalize. There was a couple defensive mistakes against that bench unit, giving up probably too many open threes. And then there was a couple miscommunications late with Dorian Finney-Smith and Ben Simmons. So, you know, they clean all this up, they win this game. But again, as we talked about to start the show, that's the difference between some really good teams and where the Nets are standing now. And the Nets are a good team, and they just have to clean up those mistakes. And they can afford as many stakes as talented team as the Bucks, because they don't have that talent level. So they almost have to be perfect throughout. And they were pretty close to it tonight. You know, you tip your cap to the Bucks. You know, they were good. But overall, you know, it's a loss for the Nets. They're 3-4. And when they get out of this tough stretch of the schedule, it's going to be interesting to see if they can stack some of this success against lesser teams and really go on a nice winning streak. But you'd love to see them win this game. You'd love to see them beat the Celtics. Just wasn't enough, but still, in a way, positive for what we expected coming to the year. But as always, big thanks for everybody listening. Check the Buzz on all streaming platforms.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.